Hello, everybody, and welcome again to the beautiful Ennis Reserve. It's another great day to be alive and enjoying God's blessings that He has given to us. If you're glad you're alive, say thank you, Lord. Go ahead, say it. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about being sure that we're saved and ultimately seeing the face of Jesus Christ when we step into eternity. What will that be like? Well, there's an old song that was sang throughout the hills of Tennessee and North Carolina that describes it this way. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Heaven will be a wonderful place where we'll be there just because of the grace of Jesus Christ and because we have placed our confidence in Him. What Jesus did at Calvary in our faith in Him has in essence declared us innocent before God. Can you just say hallelujah? What a wonderful thing to be able to stand before a holy God and be declared innocent. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But does our Christian life stop right there? Do we just get saved and turn our attention to something else? Well, unfortunately, that happens to a lot of people who say they trust in Christ and they just don't move on. Today, I want to challenge that idea and show you that there is more. There is much more to the Christian life that honors Jesus. You see, it's a great claim to claim Jesus as your Lord. But here's the question. How much of ourselves have we surrendered to Him? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. Well, first, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I thank you for the hope of heaven. I thank you for Calvary, the cross of Jesus, where He died for us. And through our faith in Calvary, we have been declared innocent before God. But there's much more to the Christian life, and help me today to explain that. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So, just how much of yourself have you surrendered or given to Jesus? Does Jesus have control of your heart? Is He honestly your leader and Lord? Well, let's dig a little deeper and get much more specific. Does Jesus have something to say about what you desire? Does He have anything to say about your day-to-day activities? If not, then I don't think you've completely given yourself or myself to the Lord. Today, I want to look at a very simple statement that Jesus made that will give us some insight into just how much we have surrendered to Jesus. If you go with me to John chapter 14, verse number 15, He makes a very, very short but easy to understand comment. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, when you look at that, what is it that immediately jumps out at you? Well, most of us look at the phrase and we see keep His commandments, and then we start looking for His commandments. Well, so how many commandments did Jesus give? Well, some people say He gave about 10, and others say that He gave about 50 commandments. So we look at these and we do our research and we list His commands, and then we start ticking them off. The first one is very obvious. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is to love each other as yourself. That's the first and second one. Well, next he says you must be born again. And then love one another. He also says when you stand and pray, well, first forgive. He says let your light shine before men. He even says love your enemies. He says don't judge others. We still left that one out. He says, don't worry about tomorrow or fear not. On they go. On they go. So we get our list and memorize our list and start ticking them off. And the closer we get to completing that list, the better we feel about ourselves. When finally we master that list, we tell all of our brothers and sisters, hey, I'm now doing the commands of Jesus. I think that proves that I really love him. But have you really given yourself to Jesus? Well, maybe not. Look what just happened with bragging about your accomplishments. We got so proud of what we did that we fell into the greatest trap, and that's human pride. We're doing good, and we fall into pride. We literally moved away from the example of Jesus himself, where he emptied himself and took on the form of a slave, and which even led him as far as to dying on the cross. Paul said that kind of humility is the real example of Jesus. And God's greatest desire is that you and I will think like Jesus thought. And also remember what James said. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So human pride just doesn't cut it in following Jesus. So let's be careful why we obey the commands of Jesus. And then I think he gives us a better way or a better reason to follow those commands. Let's look at the statement by Jesus one more time. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now focus on the if you love me. If you love me, do you love Jesus? Well, most of us would say that we do. But there's one more thing that we need to be cautious about. If I were to ask you, why do you love Jesus? Well, most of us would respond with the list of things that he does for us. All right? Let's be careful. Isn't that just consumerism with a religious disguise? You see, we love a car, a new car, because of the things that it does for us. We love a new computer or telephone. Why? Because of the things that it does for us. Is that why we love Jesus? You see, it's okay to love things because of the things they do for us, but is it okay to love a person only because of what they do? I don't think so. Let me show you the problem. When a phone or car gets old or passes its use-by date, we get rid of it and get a new one. But what if we have enjoyed a relationship with someone and all of a sudden we discover that what they did for us is no longer new or exciting? Well, what happens? We see a lot of it in our world today. Now listen, maybe your Christian life is no longer exciting. It's at this point that a lot of people turn and walk away. And that's happening in droves today. Now let me ask you, did Jesus change? No. I think what happened is you got bored with Jesus. Now you're looking for something else to make you happy. You see, we live in a consumer-driven culture and it really is all about us. When what we have is no longer new or exciting, we very quickly dump it and look for something that is. And many do the same with Jesus. How about you? So let's look again at what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Why can't we just love Jesus for who he is rather than what he did for you or me? Yes, there is a whole list of things that he did for us. But let's love him for who he is. Well, who is he? He's a man who had compassion on those who had destroyed their lives. That was his heart. That's who he was. He is a man that promised to walk with us when no one else will. That's called love. He may not even say or do anything. He just is there. He's a promise keeper, and he's a people lover. That's who Jesus is. And lastly, Jesus said that he and the Father were one. Jesus is God in the flesh, so loving him is like loving God. And all of us can honestly love God because he is God and he is worthy of our love. We worship him simply because he is. Today, all of us should choose to love Jesus because he is worthy of our love. We won't discount the things that he did. They're just too wonderful to imagine. But let's look at who he is and love him for who he is. When we love Jesus like that, then it's easy to give him our all. And following his commands just come naturally. So today, will you choose to love Jesus for who he is? And when we do that, everything else will fall into place. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And I thank you for this challenge that I've had over the last few weeks that to just love Jesus for who he is. Help us to love him for who he is. Yes, he's the Savior, but he's the Son of God. He is the Creator in flesh. He is worthy of our worship and our adoration. May we love him in that way. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.